Howdy, friends. This is Annie Fonte, and you are listening to the Badass Soul Seeking Warrior podcast. On each episode, I chat with a different guest and ask them to share their stories about what they were doing before they decided to redesign their life, what they're doing now, and how they navigated through the challenges and events in their life to get to where they are today. What realizations and transformations did they experience? What fears did they overcome? And ultimately, how did they create a life that they love? Okay, everyone, we are at the Badass Soul Seeking Warrior podcast today. And not only do we have a badass as a guest today, she's also a very special friend of Kate and mine. I'm introducing you to Becky Robbins. And of course, Kate, who many of you know already, is my business partner. And the reason we wanted to have this chat with Becky today is because she recently went through a total knee replacement. And we'll get more into some of the details about that in a few seconds. But I first want to start with Becky. Can you kind of give us a little bit of the backstory and how you got to deciding you needed and it was time to have this total knee procedure?
Sure. Well, I'd like to call myself, I do call myself an athlete because I love to hike, I love to bike, I love to lift weights, and I like to lift heavy and do all that kind of strength training stuff. Also, I love to ski and all the kind of things. And both of my knees really, but my left knee just kept getting worse and worse. And I would come in here and get worked on. And then I got injections, everything you could get. I've had stem cells. I had PRP. And then I went to a couple of different surgeons. I was shopping. I'm wiggling that. And Kate and Annie gave me ideas of who to go to. And everyone told me something different. Someone said, like, just a simple meniscus surgery. And then someone said, listen, I'll tell you what, if you get that surgery, might be that that's not all you need. Then you have to go back for another one. I thought, okay, I'm not doing that. Yeah. I'm not doing that. So Kate and I both have had surgery from Dr. Stephen Kopp, who I think is like a wizard, and I trust him. And I finally went to him. What he said was two things. One, he said, well, just wait until your quality of life is so compromised that you can't do that anymore. And I said, well, that's already happened because I can't ski. Now for two seasons, I haven't been able to ski. Yeah. I went to Aspen last year, hiking with family, couldn't hike. Yeah. I was like, okay, that's already happened. So now I guess it's time. And the second thing he said was, he said, you might need a partial knee, but I want to tell you that once we go in there and open it up and look, it might be a total knee, and I want you to be prepared for that. And we'll actually, that's a release you have to sign.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you really didn't know going in.
No.
What if you were going to have partial or total knee?
I did not know that.
And you ended up having.
I had to have the whole thing. Now they call it a. You guys have an initial for it now. It's like totally I don't even want to know that because I don't want to have it again. Yeah. But I had it.
You won't.
You know.
And so Becky made a really great point. I tell patients, say to me, when is it time? You will know when you have compromised the quality of your life enough that you don't want to live that way anymore. And Becky got to that point because she is an athlete. She is very active. She's active every single day of her life. What's most amazing, one of the most amazing things about Becky, we've known each other for a long time. And there's so many things, but in my long 40X years of being in this field and watching people and rehabbing people after total knees, I have never in my entire career seen anybody rehab as fast as Becky and recover as fast as Becky. Wow. She had surgery on Thursday, got out of the hospital Friday, came in here Monday, walked in our door
like a champion
with no assistive device. I've never seen that happen. Yeah. In a week or so, she had no swelling. In a couple of weeks, she had all of her range of motion and no swelling. So I can tell you this is not normal. And this is the fastest recovery I've ever seen. Our goal is to share a couple things she did physically, maybe mentally, that helped her be the fastest recovering total knee patient I've ever seen, that will help you if you're looking toward any kind of surgery. It doesn't have to be a total knee. It can be a shoulder surgery, a foot surgery, a hip surgery. It doesn't matter. How did you prepare? Because whatever she did made a huge difference in terms of her recovery. So whatever you'd like to or can share about that.
I think, thanks, Kate. I think in the beginning, Well, first of all, when I had to kind of surrender, like, okay, now I'm going to do this. I knew a few things. One is that I'd already been getting some PT from Kevin here, and he's been doing everything he could to get me out of pain. But then once I'm eating like 12 Advil a day, and that's the only way I can do it. And I like to walk on the beach every day for like 3 or 4 miles, like towards sunset. And I just, I take the Advil before I go, take the Advil when I come back. So I knew like, I can't keep doing that to myself. And, but I also knew then I have to surrender to the fact that I'm going to do something that is so scary for me, because I've never had to have a whole body part replaced. So I'm a meditator. So I continued to meditate and do all that. Another thing is though, I'm so self-sufficient. Like I live alone and I'm, look who I'm talking to, but I'm so self-sufficient and independent. And the idea that I would need to have a bunch of support around me, I had to really get used to that idea, because I do believe that I'm a really fast healer, and I am. I like to visualize what's happening, inside. It's like, and I'm going to talk about that. Remind me, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But, so I prepared myself spiritually, knowing that, and asking for there to be a lot of healing happening during the time, which I do that all the time. But Kevin told me, like, you must be preparing the muscles around it, like your quads, your glutes, your quads, your calf, you have to be exercising. So we worked out here, and then he showed me things I could do to make sure that I was strengthening these. And I cannot say how important enough that has been for me, because I started losing weight after my surgery, I called Cage because, I lost weight too. I'm thinking, oh, wow. Okay. Well, it was pretty cool for a while. And I lost a little too much weight, but I say that only because the muscles that are required to do all this work, and also in your other leg. But in addition to that, you've got now a completely new body part, and my whole body's brilliant God-given energy to focus on that one body part and heal it was part of what made, part of what required me to have a realistic view of my recovery.
Okay. So Matt, can you share just mentally what you visualized or manifested or something, that give people a couple ideas of how we talk about that? One of the things I always say to patients is you can't separate what happens from your neck up to your neck down. Like what happens up here is going to happen down here. Mm-hmm. So a few things that you thought about beforehand.
Yeah. A couple of them. I started talking to people who had it. I talked to all of my ski buddy friends, who've all had a million body parts replaced, who are more extreme sport people than me. I talked to them, and everybody had a different story. And they all had a story about, like, from one was like my friend Tommy in Aspen said, like, oh, it's an outpatient thing. You'll be out in the afternoon and then you'll go home. And, are you going to do two at the same time? I was like, hell no, I'm not going to do it at the same time.
Yeah.
He said, no, it's so easy. You'll do that. And then, you'll be fine. And don't worry about a scar, because, we like girls with scars, around here. Shows that they're badass, I said, but, so that was one. And then I talked to Kate, who's had like many, many knee surgeries and knee replacements. And I've watched what's happened with her. And it's like, and I finally realized this, like, okay, if you're pregnant and you're going to have a baby, like, and you start talking, everybody wants to tell you their horror story about delivery. And I thought to myself, like, hold on a minute. Are you helping yourself or hurting yourself? Yeah. And I realized it's up to me. It's an inside job. So I knew that I had to have myself in a place where, number one, I knew I was going to need a little bit of help. And a friend of mine called me and said, I'm coming no matter what. That was great. I prepared with all the gear and gadgets that Kate told me to get, like the water machine and, that kind of a thing. And then you were calling me, like, said, please don't have any throw rugs. I mean, I'm thinking, hey, they're making such a big deal out of this. But part of me doesn't make a big deal out of things, because if I do that, then I'm going to have to experience that. So I made it less of a big deal. And I had a walker downstairs and a walker upstairs. And so are you going to, you could bring in a hospital bed to your living room. I'm saying, hell no, I'm going to do that. That now I'm an invalid sick person. It's like, no, I'm going to do that. How are you going to get up your stairs? Well, I could go up, one step at a time on my ass. Cause I did that when I had foot surgery, And so I just know that I'm capable, and that helps me with everything else in my life.
Yeah. One of the things, and this is to reiterate what you said before mine, I met many, many, many days beforehand. Every night I would imagine how my surgery would go. It would go, I'd go to sleep calmly. It would go smoothly, no complications. I would wake up calmly, et cetera. And the night before, I think this would help. And I think we talked about it too. I kind of said a prayer about how it was going to go, not just for me, but I said one for Dr. Cobb. Cause I was like, okay, please let him be on his A game and make sure that he's everything flows just beautifully as it should during the surgery and things like that. So I just don't think people give that enough credit to what you can be in charge of, and you can help your outcome of your surgery. You don't need to go in there and just say, okay, you know, do with me as you wish. You can be in somewhat control. So,
yeah. And you cannot not create. We are creating right this minute with what I say and what I'm thinking, because I'm the only one who can do that. Nobody can do it for me. And so one of the things was, I know that there are videos you can watch of actual surgery happening. And I had a medical background, but it was, I didn't love taking care of people, you know, so I couldn't do that part. But the whole thing about me, I thought, oh, I'll watch that because I'm interested in anatomy and physiology and I love all that stuff. But I, something told me, and I followed my intuition, don't be watching like bone cutting and, you know, like, don't be doing that. It's not going to serve me. So I didn't do that. And I did do what you said, was because I also believe that you participate in your own rescue, you know? So I wanted to do that, you know, with all my like prayers for Dr. Kopp and all that. And two things that I told them all, you know, before on my last visit and just before I went in for surgery, is like, hey, do you guys listen to the news, or do you guys listen, you know, you put the news on the radio or something in the surgical suite, because what I prefer is not that. And I don't want you guys talking about horror movies or any of that kind of stuff when I'm under. I want you guys to stay in a positive space, or you can put on some music, like reggae would be good, you know, a little country might be nice, but I don't want any conversation about all the stuff going on in the world, and which there has been for so long now. I just want it to be like that. And then they reassured me that Dr. Kopp likes silence in there. He doesn't like it to be, you know, so that was another thing that I did.
And that's great. And you can, don't be afraid to request that and say what you want. Perfect.
A couple questions, Becky. One is, Becky, by the way, is a brilliant artist. She does the most beautiful paintings. Mm-hmm. We'll put her website on our show notes so you can go have a look at some of these amazing paintings that Becky has done for years now. I'm curious, because you do paint muscle, skeletal bodies, and a lot of very intricate things in her paintings. Did that help you as you were imagining your healing process with your knee? Did you correlate those two together at all?
Two things. Do I always say two things?
Yeah, you're allowed.
I always have two things.
One is, I'm fascinated with this body. And I don't know, a couple of years ago, I was doing a painting where I painted like this bridge, and a long bridge, and there are animals on the bridge. And there, and then when I finished the bridge, it was like, where's the bridge going? It was a bridge to nowhere. So I thought, okay, wait a minute. It has to go somewhere. So I was remembering an image I saw of a microscopic image of human shin bone. It is spectacular. When you see that, it looks like the Gaudi Cathedral in Barcelona. It is so beautiful. And so knowing that there's all these arches and things like inside these bones, you know, that's going to be one amazing thing. And so, yes, I visualized that I have what it takes to heal this, and that I'm, you know, that I'm participating in that. The second thing, though, is I asked for the show notes, you know, like I asked for like the post-op report, because I thought like, oh, that'll be interesting, because now I could, like, knowing what happened in there, maybe I can visualize, like, I know that you know, like when you have bones, they can send out like an osteoblast, like a cell that can, like, this one goes over this one, this one reaches here, and that's that. But they couldn't send them to me for some HIPAA thing or something. Dr. Kopp said, oh, I'll have to give it to you in person. So at my first post-op, he gave me the sheet, and then I gave it to Kevin, and he said, you don't want to know this. So he was right. You know, like, no, it's a little too medieval for me to know what was going on in there. So I decided not to do that. I thought that would, you know, like, good thing to do some of it, not so good to do it all.
Yeah. And I think it's good that you really put borders around what you knew would help you and be beneficial to your healing versus what you had a sense that probably wouldn't help so much. Next question is, what did you learn about yourself that you didn't already know going through this process?
That's a good question.
I didn't know I had patience. because I had to have patience. I mean, there was nothing I could do. Also, I, not a pain pill kind of person. None of them really make me feel good. I don't know how anybody gets hooked on pain pills, but you know, like one kind long ago with my foot surgery it gave me the creepiest feeling. This one made me have like jitters. And I still have that. I'm wondering, like I'm still losing weight. And I'm wondering if that jittery feeling is kind of like an anxious feeling, not full on anxiety, but so I can't take pain pills. So I knew that I was going to need to manage it another way. And Kate told me, like, when they say take 20 minutes of cold water on, 20 minutes off, she said, just keep doing it. So I did as much as I could. But I had to learn about myself that, okay, I forgot something upstairs. No, it's a good thing. The more movement you have, and just being patient with myself in those, especially those first 8 days.
Yeah.
And that was great. And then my friend left, and now what she did do for me that I really needed was like getting in and out of bed, believe it or not, that first few days is because you got to stay in a straight line. You can't be like slinging that knee around, it's so precious. And so I was careful like that, but also, I don't know, a sense of humor, I look like wrath of God and people are coming by and I'm like, all that stuff's upstairs, but I'll get up there sooner or later. And I did. I never missed a day not going up and down the stairs because they teach how to do that in the hospital. You just put one step at a time. And I'll be 9 weeks out on this coming Thursday. And I'm starting to do stairs. I'm starting to do, which I love working out. So I'm starting to do squats with a 20-pound kettlebell. And, so those kinds of little steps that make it better, but it's taught me patience because I want to go for it and I can't really go for it yet.
And speaking of that, we had a little bit of a setback.
Had a setback.
What was it, week 3?
Yeah.
Let's talk about your setback. What in your mind caused that? And how did you manage yourself through that? Because you guys, when you have these types of surgeries, these are very extensive invasions on your body. You are likely going to have good days and not so good days, setbacks and making progress more in 1 week. And you might fall back a little bit the next week. Kate experienced some of that. So tell us about your little setback and how you managed yourself through that.
Well, I was grabbing that was my other setback. This when related to this knee. Actually, they're both a knee. I have a landing and then you go up this step and then you turn and go up that. And I just took it too fast. Mm-hmm. So I twisted my knee and it's not meant to be twisted. I'm glad I'm not a golfer and wishing I could go golf right this minute because I know I can't, it was that kind of a twist. And, I was mad at myself. Mm-hmm. I was so mad at myself, which I forgive myself now for being mad at myself for doing something that was just a, normal, regular thing that you do in life. And, but it did, I just asked Kevin in there, like, how much setback do you think that was for me? Cause psychologically, then you're thinking like, I can't believe this. And that when I did that, I felt like, oh my God, do I need to go to the hospital in the morning? And do I need to call Kate and wake her up in the middle of the night? Not that you can, cause you can't, but did I screw it all up and I have to have surgery all over again? Yeah. It really scared me and made me say, okay, slow down, be more mindful. You can do this. And wow.
I think one of the unique challenges for you was that your recovery was so remarkable. You really, beyond anything we've seen, and we've seen a lot of total joint replacements come through our clinic over the years, that maybe you had more confidence than your physical body was ready for. Does that make sense?
But I think that's a good thing, in a way, because I certainly didn't baby myself. Mm-hmm. I think one of the harder things for me was two things, walking on the beach. Cause I love to walk on the beach for like miles toward the end of the day and the sunset and it grounds me. And I talk to God and back and forth. And it really is an important part of my day. So I couldn't do that for the longest time. Yeah. Some of the things that I consider to be like how I live an impeccable life. I couldn't do that either. Like make the bed the minute you get out of it. And it's like beautiful and perfect. And some of those things I've had to switch around a little bit and make it so that I'm adjusting my own life to some of those things. And just having expectations of myself that work for me. And like painting, for me, painting involves me standing up in one position. And you can't do one position is not going to work still for me. You have to bend it and then you have to get off of it. And then you have to, you know, I want to stand there and paint. Every day is a little tiny bit better every day. So
that's a great point. And I just want to remind people that you will get better. I mean, it will take a little increments every day. Even if you have a setback like Becky had, you have to just know that it's going to get better. And that when you have a fresh joint in your knee, your body's getting used to it and accommodating for it. And when we do this surgery, that we do take out part of the ligament stability, so your knee's not as stable, so it can twist more easily, especially in the early phases when it's swollen and your knee's floating around and not sure where to go. Even when you do have these little setbacks, you have to just get back into being positive and go, okay, this happened. I learned I can't make that turn as fast as I can. I'm going to just go straight and just make gradual turns. But every single day, there will be little increments of improvement. And it's important to focus on those and not, oh crap, look what I did. Because as you're more positive about it and you look for those little incremental improvements, that will actually speed up your recovery as well. So.
And, you know, one other thing that comes to my mind is that I think has been really important for me is that I learned this long ago that there's a book, usually it's used for business, called Anti-Fragile. And the whole idea is the obvious, you know, that I do believe I'm anti-fragile. And I started going to the gym the second week after my surgery and working up upper bodies because I'm not a sick person. So it's not like I can't go work out and it's only one body part. So I work out the other stuff. You know, so I'm that really helped me psychologically and of course physically. And, you know, so just to keep working out, do my thing. I drove before I was supposed to, but I wasn't on any pain pills. Yeah. So, you know, that kind of a thing. And just moved slow. You know, they couldn't believe it either that I was walking in there and, you know, and doing what I could do, anything I could do.
And if anybody, guess it was 2008, whenever my first one was in 18, was it 2018?
Yes.
We did, Annie said to document this. And so we did a series of videos on first, how do you know you're ready for a total joint replacement? How do you choose your doctor? What questions to ask? How do you prepare your home? How do you prepare yourself before? How do you manage the first couple of days after and on and on and on? And one of the things we talked about in there is how do you mentally and physically prepare yourself. So if anybody's looking toward it, I'll remind you that we do have them still on our Evolve Facebook page. Mm. And you can go back and look at those videos and they're labeled to the topic. So if you're looking for something specific, it's in there. And if we can help you, even if you're wherever you live, if we can help you with any questions, you can certainly call and I'd be happy to answer any of them just so we can help you get the most positive outcome for yourself.
Yes. And it reminds me of a quote that I came across the other day, and this is not the exact quote, but it goes something along the lines, let's not forget the bigness of little things, like the appreciation of the littlest thing you were able to do today that you couldn't do yesterday or the week before. Let's not forget even the taste of food because you haven't eaten for a while, and then you start to appreciate how your food nourishes your body and the taste of
food. Good night's sleep.
A good night's sleep. That's the other thing. I think
sleep is
tricky.
It
would be good for us to have that little bit of a conversation about that, because my experience, I've never had a total knee replacement, but I went through two with Kate as helping her as much as I could. And Becky reported the same thing. Sleep is big. It's important for us, but it is compromised when you go through these types of procedures. Yep. So why don't we have a little chat about that?
But two things, I'm going to quote Becky, two things on that. One is that your sleep is going to be interrupted and it can be for a very long time. It can be a short time, but it can be months. So you just have to accept that as part of the healing process and part of what goes along having a major surgery like this. And two is when you sleep is when you heal. And so sleep when you can. I was telling Becky, hey, if you're tired, take a nap. If you're, you know, be kind to yourself, just sleep whenever you can in the very early stages, be active, get up and moving around, but know that your sleep in the night's going to be interrupted and it's going to be after for a long time. So it's just accept that as part of the process and don't get too wigged out about it or nervous or, you know, pissed off about it, because it's part of how you heal after this.
Yeah. I agree with that because I'm still not sleeping well. And so thanks for reminding me like to go grab a cat nap if I can.
Yeah.
And cause sleep is like, that's the place. But I realized, you know, listen, I've never had a whole different body part, you know, that is trying to find its own seat at the table. Yeah. You know, this is a whole completely different thing than even like my foot surgeries, which were extreme, but you know, this is still different than that. Mm-hmm. And so I agree with you about the sleep thing. And also I was told this, remind me if this is not true, but after you've had general anesthesia, like it takes some time to get over that. Of course, all the stuff that we know about, you know, but then the other thing about that is that it can like have an upheaval of all of your hormonal systems. And so just knowing that, hey, you've been through some major freaking thing, you know, like you have to be patient with yourself. And what I also know is it helps me to know that it's not just me, like, oh, it's the anesthesia, then I'll be out of my system pretty soon. And, you know, just not making any life and death, you know, stock picks.
No big decisions, right? Those drugs are very, very powerful. I mean, just think about it. We actually knock you out with your inability to wake up yourself. We literally make you, I don't want to say,
I know.
we actually revive you. And so it's a big deal. And so people don't realize that it's give yourself a break, that those drugs will be in your system for a while. You got to, you know, flush it out with as much water and good, you know, electrolyte drinking as you can, but it will have an effect for a while. So.
And if I may swing around one more time to the beginning of this conversation, I think the other really important thing that Becky expressed to all of us was she exhausted every possibility of healing herself or helping herself before she made this decision to have this really big surgery. And the other thing that she was really smart about doing is she had a lot of visits to different experts or specialists to get opinions from them. Yeah. So she was well informed and could make it a good decision for herself. I think it's often easy for us to go to a doctor, and yes, doctors are very educated and they're people we look up to, but oftentimes I think we give them too much of our decision making to them, and sometimes they don't make the best decisions for us as we would make for ourselves. So I think that's another thing to make sure we do if you're having these kinds of things in your future.
Yeah, we covered that a lot in our videos too, about getting a second opinion and trusting not only that they are qualified and have done a lot and this is their specialty, but that they're going to take good care of you. I encourage Becky to see this doctor that I saw, and I'll tell you the two things that he said to me, because doing surgery with a lot of these surgeons, I have their cell phone numbers and I can just call them up and everything. This guy's with a big corporate system. And so I said, one, I am not going to call six people to try and get to you. And he goes, I will make it very easy for you to contact me if you have a challenge. And before he walked out the door, he said to me, he turned around and he said, I really look forward to taking really good care of you.
Yeah, I said that to me too.
And I was like, oh, you are, I love you. And you are the guy for me. And that's just, you know, that's how he feels. Mm-hmm. So you need to get that same feeling from whoever you see, not just, well, he's, you know, he's supposed to be really good. There are guys and gals probably that do this surgery that don't even see their patients post-op. And it's just unbelievable that happens, but it doesn't. So make sure that you are with someone you feel they're going to take really good care of you, no matter what happens, good or not good.
Yeah. And that tells you the truth about it.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Because here's one last thing about picking a doctor is that I did talk to a lot of people. I talked to like a PT that helped take care of me after a foot surgery, guy from La Jolla. And I said, you know, here's the thing. I want someone who, like, is there somebody like this guy works with the Chargers and you know, athletes, various athletes. And I said, like, who would you suggest? And he said, well, here's the thing. I didn't love what he said, but it was exactly accurate. He said, here's the thing. All these guys that have gone to a couple of guys I know that do the best knee operations at all, Becky, they're all young athletes. You know, they don't have wear and tear issues like you have. They might have an injury on the field or an injury in the sport, but they still have a young body part going into that injury. And that's not you. You're older with wear and tear on and arthritis. I was like, oh my God. Okay. You know, truth telling. So that made a difference for me in my selection of a doctor, because yeah, all my friends in Aspen are all extreme sports people, you know, so that's a little bit different for them too. But, you know, so anyway, I agree with you. Have somebody that you really trust and agree with. And also he said when he when on my post-op appointment, because I thought like, well, I'm in shape, I work out, you know, I'm really strong and all that. And he said, you know, Becky, when we opened you up, you had a really sick knee. So, mm-hmm. you know, he was right.
Yeah. Yeah,
for sure. Well, thank you so much, Becky, for sharing all that good information.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Really.
And I hope it helps.
As you know, we are always here, whether you decide to come to our practice or not. Kate has a plethora of background and understanding and experience in giving really good advice for these kinds of situations, whatever you may be going through. So please use this as a resource, whether you live here in the San Diego area or not. We're happy to help make sure people get good advice for whatever they may be going through on a orthopedic challenge that they may be having.
Can I say one last thing about that?
Yes, please.
You know, when you guys told me that I should have, that I'll need 2 months of PT 3 times a week, I thought that was crazy. And I also thought like, okay, well, that's for other people, but I'm a fast healer. Right. I really, truly thought that. And so then I think I had him set up for 6 weeks and I felt like that's crazy. Because the other thing, now that I'm progressing, like now Kevin's taking me in the gym. And like I was saying, like now that today I got to do a squat with a heavy kettlebell and now he's showing me what I'm capable of doing. And that's helpful for me because after my setback, I'm being smart and of what I can and can't do. So I think that 3 times a week PT for 2 months is absolute necessity.
Yeah. And it's usually longer. And what you said, an important thing, you need somebody to guide you to what you can do each step. So you can't go from 0 to 100, but you can make these little bit of, you know, so that's what we do is we gradually increase what you're doing and progress you. And you need a coach. You need a coach to do that and to make sure that you're doing the right things and progressing as quickly, but not too quick to injure yourself.
Yep. Very good. And also thanks. I want to say to all of you, Becky is up to big things in the world and I'm going to ask her if she'll do a separate podcast to talk about some of the things that she's working on and participating in these days. And I think you guys will be fascinated by it because it's some fun stuff. And so we want to make sure we share that as well.
Thank you. That'll be fun.
Yeah. You guys be well, Becky. Thank you again. Thanks Kate, Beth. For your input and call us if you need anything. If you have any questions, please get in contact with us because that's why we're here. We want to help folks. Take care. Oops,
That's a wrap on this episode of the Badass Soul Seeking Warrior podcast, where we focus on creating a life that we love. And until we meet again, stay true and be you.